Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Let's listen in now as part two is already in progress. We should be doing these things because God allows us to, and we should be doing it out of love for God, that agape love. We should never be doing this just to check a box. Right? God knows the intent of your heart. And so if you're just checking a box, He's well aware that Gus picked up the scripture today just because he felt like he had to, right? And I'll be transparent with you. Like I said earlier, it's a battleground. Some days you got to fight. Some days you have to just read and read and read. And you might reread it five times before you actually get it. Same thing with prayer. Like one of the favorite quotes I've heard is pray until you pray. Because how many times have you got on your knees or however it is that you pray, how many times have you sat there and next thing you know, you're thinking about, oh, I need to get gas for the car, right? I'm so distracted. But pray until you pray. Eventually, we'll fall into that rhythm and focus our eyes on Him. You know, not all of us can be camel knees, right? But we should strive for that type of relationship that we're prioritizing Him above all the other things in our life. So, I will ask you, what are the idols in your life? Is it a favorite sports team? Is it making money? Is it your spouse? Is it taking care of your sweet car? What is it? Is it your friends? Is it their opinions of you? Is it how you dress? What is it? Is there any idols in your life that you need to address? Is the relationship with the Lord strong, or is your relationship with the Lord empty? Is it filled? Is it overflowing? Or is it empty? How many drops of water in that prayer or that relationship bucket have you put in this week, right? And it definitely should never be a checkbox, like we just talked about. We don't ever want that. So we need to be prioritizing other things too. And the reason that we're all sitting here today and we're all listening on the radio is that we are prioritizing corporate worship. Right? That's one of the things that God tells us to do is to make sure that we worship Him. We are prioritizing corporate worship and fellowship as commanded in Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So unity in the church, fellowship, presence, all of those things are commanded. And that is, again, how we're putting God at the center of our life, is we're ensuring that we show up and we are caring for one another, which is a form of worship, which we'll be talking about here in just a second. So are we growing in our holiness, reflecting God's character? Do you reflect God's character? Do I? Right? You have to really be thinking about this. Are we being good image bearers of God in our everyday life? And so that sanctification, right? It's a lifelong pursuit, but it has to be intentional. You have to be actively and intentionally seeking to grow every day. And we can find that in 1 Peter. But we need to just kind of to bring this point home, our time with God is not a checkbox. It's how we should be spending our life. It needs to be scheduled, and it's a non-negotiable. We need to trust that He transforms us through His Word and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And again, if you don't schedule it, I used to tell my troops this all the time, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen, right? Your day needs to be ordered. There's so many things that could happen in your day. Being disciplined is a form of worship in and of itself because you're doing what? You're being a good steward of the time that the Lord has given you. So Rather than kicking the can down the road and just moving on to the next thing, I'll take care of it later. I'll take care of it later. I'll take care of it later. We need to pull up our pants and say, like, okay, tighten that belt. Like, I'm going to get to work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to prioritize this for the day. Now, priority number two is your spouse. For you that are not married, that's okay. Just listen in, because hopefully one day, if God has this plan for you, then you will be married. All right. So, your spouse. For those that are married, the spouse is the primary human relationship reflecting that covenantal love between Christ and the church. Christ in the relationship between the church is the example of how we should be in our marriage. And so marriage is a divine institution that was created or ordained to display God's glory and foster mutual sanctification. What do I mean by that? You can't tell me if you're married and you reflect on that and you say, my spouse has helped me be the better version of me in some ways. At least we can all hope that that's what's happening, is we're exhorting, we're stirring each other up, we're helping each other get better, okay? So as a matter of fact, did you know that prioritizing your spouse is a form of worship? It honors God's design and advances his kingdom through this godly union that you're in with your spouse, okay? So he's directed it in scripture that you would treat your spouse fairly, accordingly, as Christ treats the church. And so for us to continue to worship God, one way to do that is to care and die to ourselves for our spouse, that we would be seeking to serve them because that's what God asked us to do. A couple of questions here is, are we investing in our marriage through intentional acts of love, again, that agape love, intentional communication? Are you praying for your spouse? Are you praying with your spouse? I will tell you that if you don't pray with your spouse, I encourage you to do so and watch how God works in your marriage and how it will be strengthened, because you get to hear a little bit of what's going on with them. You get to understand what's heavy on their heart and how you could serve them by better understanding what their spiritual needs are. So Ephesians 5:25 calls husbands to sacrificial love and the wives to the respectful partnership. Are we placing ministry to our spouse above other commitments? We need to make sure, again, that we're not having idols in our life. We're not placing our spouse above God and idolizing them over our relationship with God, which means that sometimes we have to say no or have tough conversations if our spouse ever tries to draw a line in the sand and put themselves above God. So we have to be aware of that, and that we don't inadvertently put them on that pedestal above God where we're seeking to please only them and not seeking to please God. Because sometimes, if you guys haven't been in a relationship or marriage, sometimes it's hard because there will be times where, as a husband or a wife, you have to speak truths to your spouse and challenge them on their belief on something and say, hey, I don't believe that God has intended this for us at this point in our marriage or whatever it is. Back it up with scripture, right? But there will be times where you have to challenge that narrative and say, I'm going to honor God by telling my neighbor, which is also your spouse, out of love, that this is somewhere where we need to spend a little bit of time. Your family, your spouse, is your first ministry, okay? So a lot of times we can get distracted with other opportunities to serve, and we forget about the family. You forget about your spouse. And so you should always be seeking to prioritize your first ministry, making sure that their needs are met before we expend all of our time and energy in other places. So the last question really is, like, do you understand the needs of your spouse, their needs, their priorities, and are you seeking to serve them every day selflessly? If you seek them selfishly, then you're looking to do something for yourself. If you're looking to seek them selflessly, you're seeking to do something for them, right? So a thriving marriage requires time and effort. Again, good stewards of our time. We need to plan regular moments for you to connect with your spouse, to pray together, to grow together, ensuring that no ministry, really, or other priorities overshadow that. And don't ever stop dating your wife, okay, for the men that are listening. Don't stop, okay? Continue to date them. Priority number three is our family and our home. This is not just children, parent parental relationship. This could be your parents. It could be your aunts, uncles, cousins. Whatever your family picture looks like, this is where we're talking about, okay? Family and home. So the family is a divine institution. It is an example of God's covenant community, right? We see this all through Scripture, all the way from the parents to the grandchildren being pictured all throughout the Old Testament, all of these examples of people who had children, and there was just this kind of lineage that was built, okay? So this is a covenant community. This is an agreement that was made. God has built this for us to enjoy and to be live in a blessed relationship with, okay? So parents, we are entrusted with raising up or disciplining or helping to guide the spiritual formation of your children. So we should be seeking to do that every day. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." So we are challenged to do this every day, caring for their physical needs, their security, disciplining them for their spiritual formation. We should be pouring into the kids as parents or into our other family members, those that are around us that spend time with us in our home. We should be seeking to glorify God by sharing and proclaiming the truths that are in the Scriptures. Now, men, this portion is for you that are listening, okay? Sometimes it can sting, right, to hear the truth, because I challenge you to ask yourselves in this discussion right now, are you fulfilling this? Are you caring for your spouse, and are you caring for your first ministry, your family, of your home? Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We, right? And if we think about the headship, right? Christ is the head of the church. That means that you are the head of the home, okay? So you exercise headship over your home. That includes your daughters. Until they're married to another man, they're under your headship. And so we have to be thinking about this. Am I caring for my first ministry until they are no longer under that headship? Genesis 18, verse 19 says, "But for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." So again, more truths found in the Old Testament that are applicable today in caring for our ministries, our first ministry and our family and home. And children are to do what? Honor their parents, right? So we've got a couple of young ones in here today, but Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 tells us that children are to honor their parents. In managing the home, well, reflects God's order and care. So 1 Timothy 5, 8 tells us, manage your home, right? Do it well. The family unit is a training ground for godliness. And so where faith is passed down from you, in that like you're sharing your faith with your children, sometimes this goes up the chain, if you will. Sometimes you're sharing the truths and your faith with your parents or those that are older than you. Maybe you didn't have that imparted on you when you were young. Maybe you're bringing that to the table now and you're telling them about God. You're sharing your faith. You are now using this family structure as a training ground to glorify God by exemplifying godliness as close as we can. We're striving to do that. We're showing our faith. We are describing why we have a future in eternity and why we have hope in what that is, okay? So are we diligently teaching our children God's word in modeling Christ-like character? Are we doing that every day? As best as you can, right? Are we investing in the next generation is really the question. Are you investing in the future? Because at the end of the day, if you're a parent and tomorrow you pass away, what do your children know? What have you shared with them, right? So they're going to remember you. What are they going to remember about you? What are they going to remember about how you walked with the Lord? Are you setting an example for them? Are we managing our home effectively? Are we addressing practical and spiritual needs in the home? Men, again, making sure as the headship in the home that you are making sure to address those practical and spiritual needs of your family, not abdicating your responsibilities and just leaving it for mom to do. That's the headship role, is that for you to do. Your wife is there to be a helpmate, but you are to be the spiritual leader of your home. And what specific virtues or behaviors do we want our children to develop? And how are we fostering them? So if we're expecting our kids to walk with God, how are we helping them get there? If you're expecting your aunts or uncles or family, whatever, what have you, brothers, sisters, how are you helping them get there? How are you helping them live that out? So family life is, you know, that stewardship that's entrusted to us by prioritizing that time, family devotions, shared meals, intentional conversations to build that legacy, okay? So we need to make sure also, parents, I'll just throw this in there on the end because it's relevant and it's come up recently, combat the cultural narratives, okay? Combat the lies that are being projected in today's world. Combat it with biblical truths, though. Scripture convicts. So if you can bring scripture to the table to combat the cultural narrative, then you can show them, you can battle lies with truth, right? Whether that be dating, gender lies, marriage roles, responsibilities, those type of things, all that is outlined in scripture. Now, priority four. Church is the body of Christ, and it is the visible manifestation of God's kingdom here on earth, okay? So we right now in this room, in our presence, our fellowship with one another, we are the manifestation of God's kingdom on earth right now. As believers, and we're in Christ, we're here. So praise God for that, okay? That we can be here and we're not being persecuted while sitting here. Nobody's hunting us down right now. So believers are called to be active in participation with the church. We need to be using our gifts to build up the body of the church. So through teaching, exhortation, service, generosity, leadership, zeal, all these things we talked about last week, well, here they are again in the context of the church. All of those giftings that are out there, your gifts, we need to be using those to help glorify God by exhorting and helping the church grow, okay? So in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about this. It really kind of underscores the necessity of corporate worship and mutual encouragement. The church is where we should be growing in grace and serving God's people and proclaiming his word. And so really the questions are we attending and serving in a Bible preaching church, okay? There are churches out there that may teach a false doctrine or not preach a true gospel, but are you faithfully attending and serving in a biblical church, okay? This is really a non-negotiable for your spiritual growth. We see the New Testament church as Christ lays it out in through the apostles, and we see this in work all through Acts, going out and establishing churches, the New Testament churches. So it's important for us to live in that mindset and say, it is important for us to be unified as a church. We need to be there in order for the church to be unified, okay? Where is God calling you to serve based on your gifts? What are the church's needs? What gifts do you have that you can bring to bear to support the church? 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of the grace of God, okay? So it tells us right there, we've got that special gift. We need to be employing that. We need to be bringing that to the table. And how can we serve the church with the giftings that we have? Are we discerning in our commitments? Meaning, do we overextend ourselves? Sometimes we can do that. We can overextend ourselves in the church. I'll cook all the food. I'll do this. I'll make sure I set up all the chairs, whatever it is. We need to be saying yes to what God is calling you to do, not every request that comes in front of you, because you can get bogged down with other things, but you don't prioritize using the gifts that God has given to you. And that's just a word of caution. That doesn't mean that we say no, like I'm not spiritually gifted in putting chairs away. No, that's not the point, right? The point is don't be overburdened. Be aware of what your gifts are and how you can use those to glorify God in the church. Again, it's an essential part of life. Now, last priority, working community, okay? So from this perspective, we can very easily put work and community ahead of every other priority that we've listed here today, if we're not careful, because we are surrounded by it. Money is required for us to live so we can get distracted at work. Community, because we have friends. Community engagement is part of God's creation, right? Mandate, because he tells us to go out and subdue the earth. That means that we are to be out off of our little plot of land, right? So that indicates to us that we should be out, moving about, okay? Now, Colossians 3:23 calls us to work heartily for the Lord, not men. And I'll explain that in just a second, okay? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Our vocation, like our job, and how we interact with the community is really important. And I'm going to tell you this in the most transparent, blatant way that I really know how, is you may be the only example that somebody sees of what the Bible says. So if you're a believer and they know you're a believer, what picture are you presenting to those that you work with or those that you're interacting with in the community? Are you somebody who at work is acting like the world, or are you acting like a follower of Christ? What picture are you putting forth? Are you lazy? Are you working hard? Do you watch your tongue? Are you somebody who's argumentative and fighting? Do you ignore your responsibilities? Again, we should be living our life. We should be letting our light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Again, a form of worship is going forth, fulfilling what the scripture says, do it to the best of your ability and glorify God in everything that you do, especially while you're at work, because you may be the only example that somebody sees of a Christian or a follower of Christ in everyday life. So, are we approaching our work with excellence and integrity as unto the Lord, or are we approaching it with mediocrity and I'm tired and it's Friday afternoon? How are you going about your day? Okay. Are we building relationships within the community? Are you keeping to yourself and not interacting with the community? Are your interactions with the community pointing others to Christ? If somebody runs into you at the grocery store, are you glorifying Christ? Are you worshiping God by how you interact with your neighbors? Are they going to have a good opinion of you? And are we balancing our work with those other higher priorities in life, ensuring that it doesn't consume us, okay? Don't let work consume your identity or replace your identity. You are in Christ. You are a believer. You are a Christian. You are somebody who's walking with the Lord. Don't let your title or your job or your position in the community take the place of that. Don't ever become somebody who's, I'm a salesman and I'm going to use every dirty tactic to get to the sale, but I'm not glorifying God in how I live my life, right? So that's just, I mean, that's a rough example, but just understand how you live your life every day amongst your community and how you're looked at, how you're perceived, and what example you're setting for others. You don't know the impact that is, especially when there's young teenagers, young youth around. What are they seeing? How are you interacting with people? Are they seeing the importance of living and acting that way? So obviously we know work is important. We should use it to glorify God, but it should not be the most significant thing in our life. Now, we've got our five priorities, okay? So God number one, spouse number two, family and home number three, four is church, and five is your working community, okay? So you need to be working hard every day to do your best to try and order these in this particular order. And this is just, you know, a tool for you to use every day. And again, every season of your life may dictate kind of how things move around, but God will never change as the number one priority. So it is necessary to seek the Lord's will or guidance for your life every day. You need to be praying daily for wisdom to make sure that your priorities are ordered and that you would be seeking to find out how to navigate those priorities and how to serve those priorities appropriately. We'd be seeking godly mentors that can help us navigate challenges in life. we need to be seeking to glorify God through how we interact with this church community. Again, in the book of James, if we ask, if we seek the wisdom of God, it will be given. And so do that prayerfully. Seek the wisdom of God. And so the last three questions I have for us to reflect upon today is, have you prayerfully developed priorities in your life that are grounded in the Word of God? Are you living your life reactively or intentionally? If you're living reactively and you don't have intention about how you plan your days or your priorities in your life, I encourage you to take the time to do that. What types of barriers are in the way of you having rightly ordered priorities in your life?
As we close part two, let's remember to reflect on our life and priorities. It is easy to say that Christ is first, but our time, our choices, and our focus reveal what truly matters to us. God calls us to live with wisdom, to redeem the time, and to seek His kingdom above everything else. This is not about perfection. It is about daily surrender. It is about waking up each day and asking the Lord to shape our hearts, guide our steps, and align our lives with His will. If you feel distracted, overwhelmed, or pulled in 100 different directions, remember that Christ invites you to come back to Him. He is faithful, He is sufficient, and He alone brings lasting peace and purpose. When He is first, everything else falls into its proper place. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.